right? So then May 2018, you know, I did the job, you know, at the club they are probably most affiliated to, really, as a player, you would say. Cambrian?
Yeah, I think I played for a couple of clubs and then I had a break out of football and played locally and helped coach Anniseed Albions. But, you know, my fondest memories and most longest period and successful playing career was with Cambrian, definitely.
So how does it feel then, you know, after Craig Hughes steps down, you're given, you know, you are, go manage your own town club, something?
It's a tough one because I can say this and I really mean this. Cambrian is probably one of the most sought after manager's jobs in Welsh League football. The facilities, the academy, just the club as a whole is run really, really well. And it's one of those where I didn't particularly think I won the Cambrian job. In fact, far from it. But you don't turn that down. You don't say no. Because an opportunity to manage a club like Cambrian without any experience would never come along again. So it's one of those where it was just like, yeah, let's go with this, see how it goes.
Yeah, because, you know, you were, well, not even relatively young, you were a really young manager. So how was that transition as a young man? You're probably, you know, still learning, as you said, new to the coaching sort of system. How was that transition?
It was actually my first football manager's job, but I think, I'd like to think that in general I was, you know, quite vocal as a player and part of the team and the management and, you know, all the banter. And I'm one of those people who's just quite vocal anyway, and I like to think that as a player I would try and lead by example. So I think a lot of that I would just take into management as, you know, leading by example, being the mates, but, you know, knowing when to kind of say that's enough and putting some boundaries in place as well.
Yeah, because obviously a lot of these players would have been, you know, some of your best friends probably in football. So how do you make that sort of change from being their teammate to, you know, the person laying down the law?
It's a tough one because the hardest thing I found was not speaking to them like mates, because especially when things are not going well, because when things are not going well you can then speak to somebody as a mate and it can probably get a little bit too personal, a bit too close to the bone. So it's a matter of kind of, you know, having, for me personally, learning how to speak to people as a manager and get your point across without really getting too aggressive and a little bit personal as a mate, I guess. Because as a mate I got no problem getting personal with people.
How much of a learning curve was that first season?
I'm honest with you, it was, well, it went very easy. You know, we had a successful season, we finished second in the league, you know, our cup runs were well documented, and it was a breeze, if I'm honest with you, it really was. It was, everything was going well. I've learned a lot more the last 5 games, let me tell you that. I've learned a lot more the last 5 weeks than I did last year.
Yeah, because obviously, you know, then the final MG Cup run, you took on 4 Cymru Premier teams and you beat them all. So how much of a test was it for a really young side at the time, still a young side, to kind of take on, you know, arguably best teams in Wales and, you know, come out victorious, really?
Yeah, I think, you know, a lot of the talk around those games was, you know, with the young side, young players with aspirations to play at that level or even higher. So a lot of the talking was quite easy. This is the level you want to play at. This is the level I believe you should be playing at. This is the level the level the club wants you to play at. So go out there, you know, express yourself, work hard, but just really enjoy it and show that you belong on the stage. And that's easy when you're playing a team a level above you.
Yeah, because obviously I think from any games I've seen, it becomes clear that there's a sort of identity to the way Cambrian play, a philosophy on the field. Is that something they are very keen to kind of stress on the players?
If I'm honest with you, the philosophy at Cambrian is forced upon you. I am coming to Cambrian and gone, I'm Pep Guardiola, I'm going to play from the back. That's not what it's about, especially not at this level. But I'm fortunate to have a group of players which all they know is coaching. I never had that sort of coaching from the year I was playing football, and these youngsters have just come through, you know, 8s, 10s, 12s, whatever it is, and they coached and they coached and they coached. So if I'd gone in there, and I did go in there and say sometimes clip the channel, and people would look at it like you've got 2 heads, they don't know what you're talking about. So I've had to adapt to that philosophy as well as trying to make them a little bit more streetwise, a little less naive and more Welsh League. So that's kind of the learning curve for me and them, to become more Welsh League.
Yeah, because obviously, you know, some of these players, you know, when you played TNS, you had 2 16-year-olds on the bench. How difficult it is, you know, you're managing essentially, you know, young kids, essentially, and trying to tell them, you know, trying to guide them against the best team in Wales. How tough is that?
Again, it is tough. I think the starting team was, I think, 4 under 20. I think it might have been 6 under 21. So it is tough because, you know, they're not experienced. But then the flip side of that is they've got no fear. You don't have to rely on, you know, making mistakes. You know they're going to make mistakes. They're young kids. They're going to make mistakes. But what they are is they fit. You know, they're athletic and they're keen to do well. And sometimes when you're stepping up to play against a team which is obviously technically better than you, more experienced, you have to rely on that work rate, that pace, that desire, and that youth where there's just no fear, just go and do your thing. And that got us through a lot of those games.
So would you say that's something now, you know, having stepped into the Cambrian setup as a coach, is something you would like to take, you carry on with and continue that sort of young identity to that core of that team?
Yeah, I think, again, this year we've got some very good youngsters coming through and they're already part of the squad, and no doubt their names are the next names which will be mentioned. But now we're the season on and the players are a year older, it's only so long you can go, yeah, they're kids. We have to learn and we have to progress as a club and as a team. And that's as important, progression's as important as anything else. And whether that's the way in which you play, the results or the silverware, you have to progress.
Yeah, it's obviously been well documented, you know, the 30 years Cambrian have put into their academy to kind of get this as sort of sustainable to the line. This summer, obviously, lost two players to Cardiff Met. You know, two players who were key in that cup run. Is that something that makes you proud, seeing the players that you played a part in their development go on to a next level?
Yeah, with Dali and Joe, I don't even think about losing them, if I'm honest with you. That's exactly what we were about. And last year, I actually spoke to Dai, he was the captain. And Dai's, you know, really, you know, he's a down-to-earth, he's an intelligent kid, he really is. And he was saying to me, like, what do you want to achieve out of this season? Which is an odd question for a 21-year-old to ask you. And I said to him at the time, you know, my biggest disappointment here wouldn't be our failure as a team. It'll be if 3, 4, 5 of you don't go on and play at a higher level. And if I'm honest with you, the players I lose who go and play local league and decide to knock you on the head, that's the biggest disappointment for me. The players who go on and achieve what I know they can achieve, that's great. I'd expect them to do that anyway. But when we lose players to go back and play with their mates or decide they're no longer playing as a club and as a person, I think what I could do better to try and not lose those, not let them slip through the net.
Yeah, because obviously those two have gone to the Cymru Premier now, and obviously last year finished second. So as a club, is that somewhere the club wants to get?
Yeah, it's well documented the club has aspirations to play in the Welsh Premier. I think the reality is, you know, we're quite a bit off that in terms of funding. And in order to be a sustainable team in the Welsh Premier, you have to have a level of funding and support. And in terms of the facilities and the infrastructure, we're there. But, you know, we're a little short about funding at the moment, but I have no doubt that Cambrian will play in the Welsh Premier at some point.
And do you think many of this current crop of players can be the ones to get you there?
Absolutely. If I'm honest with you, I'm surprised that we only lost two. You know, we planned on losing 4 or 5, and our recruitment is around replacing 4 or 5. For whatever reason, that hasn't materialised for them, but that's our benefit. And hopefully we don't lose anymore. We progress to the next level and they stay with us and progress with us.
I mean, those young players then, do you think it makes almost, gives you sort of a blank canvas, they're more malleable in terms of you can kind of direct them in sort of a way that you want to take the club?
Yeah, I think for a lot of these, I'm one of the first adult influences in terms of football managers they've had. So the effect I have on them, I hope, will be a positive effect and something I can shape them to be better players moving forward with their career.
Yeah, obviously, you know, coming to the season, some people would have tipped you to be, you know, going for again this season like you were last season. That sort of pressure, do you thrive off that?
If you don't, then you're in the wrong game, because, you know, when you're a sportsman or a manager or anybody who's competing at any level, if you don't feel the pressure of losing, you shouldn't be there. You know what I mean? But, and what I will say is, the very little high you get off winning is nowhere near the massive low you get off losing. But you've got to thrive in that pressure. You've got to set yourself goals. And, you know, we've just talked about the aspirations of a club to play in the Welsh Premier. that doesn't happen without winning a league. So at some point you have to set that goal and either achieve it or fail. So the pressure is going to be there at some point.
Yeah, because how hard is it as a manager? You know, there's high expectations, but when you look at the Cymru South, the number of teams that are up there now with high quality, so there's no real standout, this team is going to win the league. It's quite a tough field. 1 week, you know, Llanelli will be going flying iron and they lose a game, they think Half West, they think STM. How do you manage that sort of expectation, really?
I'm really impressed with the league this year, and I think it's the first time where you can honestly say anyone could win this league, and that comes from, you know, people like STM and Ammanford, who have, you know, got a group together, come through, built on something, and really striving to achieve something which no one would, if we're honest, nobody would have tipped Ammanford or STM to be winning the league. You know, what I've seen so far, they're as good as any, and they certainly can win the league. In terms of managing expectations internally, you can't really talk about winning the league in September, October, November. You can't win a league then. What we say is you can certainly lose a league, and that's our expectations. You know what I mean? You can't win a league in September, October, November, but come December you could have lost a league. So it's about managing game at a time, giving yourself an opportunity that come January, February, March, April, you're in the mix, because that's when real pressure kicks in and anything can happen.
Yeah, because obviously you start the season with 5 wins, and now you've had the exact opposite, where you struggled to get a win in the last 5. So, you know, how are you managing the string of results that you're going? It's a test for you as a manager. You've probably never been through a run of results like this as Cambrai manager.
I've certainly learnt more in the last 5 games than I have the last 30 games. But again, it comes back to managing people's expectations. You know, you win 5 on a bounce, and it's easy for everyone's texting him, everyone's phoning him, everyone's telling him how well you're doing and are you going to win the league. I said it before, and then you haven't won in 5 and you hear people saying he's going to get a sack and he's not good enough, he doesn't speak to people right, he doesn't do the right things. So it's, you know, take it with a pinch of salt. It's 10 games in, we've won 5, drawn 1. It is what it is. We know where we've made mistakes, we know where we need to improve, and that's all we can really do is game by game, you know, learn from it and then try and put it right.
And so what are the expectations at Cambrai in the season? What is the aim?
Without doubt, we overachieved last year. You know, we certainly did overachieve last year. We've lost a couple of players, but I honestly believe we've replaced those with quality as well, if not better. So, you know, we have to improve as a club. And that's not on the pitch, that's off the pitch, that's together, the way in which we conduct ourselves, just the way in which we want to be seen as a club needs to improve. And then that will then hopefully attract, you know, the sponsorship and, you know, what we need as a club to move forward. As players, we're a year older. As manager, I'm a year older and wiser, hopefully. And yeah, like I said, we have to at some point, if we want to play in the Welsh Premier, at some point we have to set that goal to win the league. That's not something we've said this year. However, it's not something where if we were in the position, so after 5 games, when we'd won 5 in a bounce, we wasn't saying no, we can't win the league. We weren't saying we were, but what we were saying was, let's just relax, see where it takes us. And it's one of those in football, you never really know where you're going to go from 1 week to the next. You just got to take each game as it comes and then move on from there.
Obviously, like you say, you're 1 year wiser into this job. How are you finding the whole experience being a coach? Obviously, it's the first time I've ever done it, really, like you said earlier. Is it different to what you expect?
I can pretty much guarantee you it is the most thankless task in Welsh League football. We love it, because I can, and I look at some of the experienced managers I come up against on a weekly basis, and I was speaking to one the other week, and I said to him, no wonder you're bald. I take my hat off to these people who've been doing this for, you know, 5, 10, 15 years across 3, 4, 5 different clubs, and you think of the cycles they've gone through where they've been successful, they've lost their players, they've gone to a club, they've started again. The only way me and the other managers can possibly do this is for love. And if I'm honest though, if I was still able to play, I wouldn't be doing this. I'd be playing. But it's the second best thing about being around that group of people, the banter, the environment. you just love it. There's no other reason to do it than love.
So what sort of, is there anybody particularly you model yourself off as a manager?
Not really. I think I haven't had time to kind of think about that in terms of modelling myself, because as you're aware, I'm quite early in my coaching journey as well. So as I'm learning to become a coach, I'm learning to become a manager, and I think once I have a better understanding of the coaching side of things, I'll probably look at how I'm going to model myself and where I see myself in a couple of years then.
Obviously, when you took over from River Nikon in Cambrian, didn't you, and Craig Hughes. What's it like having taken over from him and having him around the club?
Unfortunately, I have him around my house because he's my brother-in-law. So Christmas, birthdays, holidays, he's an absolute disaster of a bloke. But I got to be honest, you're right, he's icon. He's very well known in Welsh football, and to have him around the club, it's just a massive lift for everyone, the players. And even now today, I mean, I speak to him about everything, you know, in terms of football. What about this as a player? What about that as a player? He's the busiest man in the world. So why he stepped down as a manager, I'll never know, because he absolutely loves football.
And he's in an advisory role now. How much of a guidance has he been for you?
Not just me, I think everyone at the club. I think Craig's experience, I mean, he's over 40 now, playing for the over 40s. But you know, his knowledge of football in general, I will give him a compliment, it's impressive. You know, he knows everyone, he knows everything. He's got his finger firmly on the button. He knows what's going on where, with who and when. So to be able to pick up the phone and have that knowledge available to me is a massive help.
Yeah, actually, it's one thing you touched on there. It's probably most interesting about Welsh football is that regions are almost kind of separated. The data available isn't any data available, essentially. The database of players, you don't have that sort of ability to kind of go and get a recruitment team together, find out which players perform best. You just use your eyes, I guess. Is that the hardest part, is truly from a neutral's perspective, is recruitment? Because I don't know where you'd start.
That is the hardest thing. You know, we are fortunate we got an academy, so we see a lot of our guys coming through. But in terms of like understanding a player, you know, who they are, what person they are, where they fit into your group, you know, you need people like Craig. And without people like Craig, I personally wouldn't have the time or an absolute clue of who's who and where they are and what they're doing. So to have that experience around is a massive, massive help. What I've been really impressed with, if I'll be honest, is the managers' union, and you know, the amount of people who will drop you a message and you know, give you an inbox saying, oh, look, this is a little bit of information on them, and this is what I think. If you need anything, give me a shout. I've been really impressed with that, because I'm that type of character which can annoy a couple of people as well, and I come across managers who can certainly annoy me. And the fact that as soon as the whistle's gone, they're there supporting each other, are willing to help each other, it just goes to show that rivalries aside, they know how tough a job this is.
Who's the toughest manager to come up against?
Oh, that's a question, that is. That's a tough one, that is. I've got to be honest, Wolvesy. Because he's very similar to me, Wolvesy. Half foot rest, he's very vocal, he's very competitive, and the same as me. But also, he has a very good side and very good players at his disposal, so he can switch things up very quickly. But the thing I like about Wolvesy is, as vocal and as competitive he is, he's the first person on the touchline to shake your hand and wish you all the best. And I think I'm quite similar to that. I can be vocal, I can be annoying, I can be outspoken, but I certainly respect other people and I'm happy to shake their hand at the end of the game, and he's very similar.
What's the hardest thing you faced as a manager in terms of just being involved, you know, at this sort of level? What's the most difficult hurdle you've had to try and overcome?
Personally, it's family, because I've got a young family. I got married in the summer, and if you haven't got that support of a good partner, wife or family who are willing to say, yeah, you know, we can't go away during the season, we can't have a weekend away or a romantic break to Venice, or I got training tonight, so your auntie's birthday meal is going to have to give it a miss, I'm sorry, I got training tonight and we've got a big game on Friday. So the support of your family is really, really important, because if you haven't got that, you know, as well as the other pressures and struggles, you're going to feel it from home. And if you've got that on top of the football, it'd be tough. Yes. Very tough.
I know Rhys Griffiths, you know, kind of one manager, similar vein, he bans his players from going away on holiday in the summer. unless it's in the summer, sorry. How hard is it to kind of set that sort of culture in a football club, you know, when players aren't, it's not their job, it's a side hobby. Is it hard to kind of, do you limit your recruitment pool if you kind of set those sort of...
It's a sign of the times, if I'm honest with you. Like, I never, ever booked a holiday during the season. That was just, people didn't have to tell me to do it. We just didn't do it. It was football season. You didn't go on holidays, but it's a different generation now, and that's actually the hardest thing, if I'm honest with you, is adapting to the generation which we are around now. You know, a lot of it is social media, and I've actually said sometimes that some players I've had to deal with have more pride in their appearance than their performance. And I think that comes down to, if I'm honest with you, if players are happy to book holidays during the season, are they as committed as you? Probably not. Are they the right people? Eventually, probably not, if you're going to be successful.
So is it tough then to kind of, you know, obviously one bad apple can spoil the lot, can't it? So is it tough to kind of manage those things when you, like you said earlier, you don't know these characters until you have to chuck them in the deep end? Is it a learning curve for yourself as a manager and as the players? You know, the only way you're going to find out what they're like is by just giving them a chance.
Yeah, I think, you know, you've got to track people in and give them a go, but like I said to you shortly, I've learnt more in the past 5 games than I have in the previous 25-30, because, you know, when times are tough, you know who you got, you know characters, you know the players, you can see their reactions and how they're training and how they're behaving on the weekends. I know that sounds a bit strong given the fact that, you know, we get paid very, very little, if anything at all. And a lot of people will say, well, yeah, it's just a hobby, but how people conduct themselves away from football will tell you a lot about their desire and their character to be successful within football. And you learn an awful lot when times are tough.
Obviously, going back again to last season about having tough times, obviously it was a really successful season, but how is it, you know, we're underdogs to get to that cup final. How do a young bunch of boys and a young squad deal with losing a cup final? Because obviously you would never tip to get there in the first place. So does it leave a different taste in your mouth when you never tip to get there anyway?
I think when you're young, as players, you can kind of just forget about it because they'll believe they'll have other opportunities, and I believe they'll have other opportunities, and I think, you know, you don't really dwell on it too much. As a young manager and a little bit more experience in life, I probably dwell on that a lot more than them. So that may be my only opportunity. Who knows?
Do you think it'll be your only opportunity?
I hope not. Depends on the next couple of results.
But no, you know, this season now, you know, the introduction of the new leagues and the Cymru leagues, and, you know, you've got players coming down from the Cymru Premier. How tough has it been? Has been added pressure onto you as a job? Have you found it easy sort of change, or is it fan of the way the changes in the league?
I'm a big fan of the changes, I've got to be honest, and the way, you know, the exposure on social media and everything else can only do good for the clubs. Sponsorship, attendance, quality, you know, the way the league's been restructured and the way we're going about things, it's an absolute positive. It's going in the right way, and as an organisation and the way everything is done is millions of miles away from what it was 10 years ago. So I'm really impressed the way it's going, and I'm excited to see where it goes.
Yeah, because obviously you played in the Cymru Premier previously as a player, so what are the main differences between kind of then and now?
The quality of the facilities genuinely does improve the standard of football. And I know there's a big debate around this and kind of the seating and how many seats we need and etc, etc. But the biggest improvement for me is the pitches. You don't play on poor pitches anymore. And that has the biggest impact on the standard of football. And ultimately, fans don't come to look at a nice seat. They come to watch football. And, you know, the introduction of 3G pitches, you've got pitches like Llanelli and Halford West, which are just bowling greens. And I know, you know, teams like Ammanford have really improved their pitch. Cumbrian Celtic have really improved the pitch. You don't go to poor surfaces anymore. Or they're poor surfaces in comparison to what they are in the league. But they're not poor surfaces. 10 years ago, you'd go and the pitch would be a big factor on who would win the game. the standard and the quality of the fields now has raised the level of football. And I think that will increase attendances because people want to come and watch football, and the surfaces will certainly help that.
Yeah, because obviously, you know, at Cumbria you've been able to develop a number of players through the academies. We've now gone on to get pro contracts at pro clubs outside of Wales. So you think that 3G is just key to the development of future players in grassroots football?
Yeah, I think when the 3G first came out, I just finished playing, and you know, we used to laugh and joke that, you know, our captain at the time, Lee Matthews, Maxie, he was my assistant last year. We used to joke with him that if these were around 10 years ago, you wouldn't have had a chance, because, you know, they're so fast now. And but you just look at Wales and you look at the weather today, and there's no way in a million years games will be on in the current conditions. And the fact that you can play games consistently week in, week out, it allows people a chance to organise their weekend. They know the game's going to be on. They can organise the downtime. And 3G is the way forward for me. It certainly is.
Yeah, because I know, especially this summer, obviously in the coming Premier League, a lot of clubs are playing 3G now. The efficiency of the league table, not going into the last 2 months of the season, I mean, there's 14 games to go for some teams in the league. I think it just, you know, just makes the efficiency easier, you know, creates more excitement around the games. But one thing in particular I noticed is similar. As Penna Bont went at Rhys Griffiths' interview with BBC, and he said that when he was a player, that the highest level he ever wanted to play was the Cymru Premier. I don't know if you feel this as well, but I've seen in some of the clubs there seems to be a kind of a greater level of pride about playing for your club in the Cymru Leagues now.
Yes, certainly. You know, there's people have real pride in playing in the local clubs, and I think, you know, that's certainly why, you know, clubs like Ammanford are doing well at the moment, and STM, because years ago, you know, certainly when I was playing, people would play from everywhere. You know, they wouldn't be that close group team of players who've come together from the same community. You just look at Ammanford now and STM, and look where they are from having that group together, and the pride of playing purely for the club. And we've gone to see the Albions tonight in the Welsh Cup, and very, very rare today you get a group of players who play for the club and pride. That's it. Nothing else, just their mates and pride. And that's growing quite a lot within the Welsh leagues.
Yeah, so obviously now you play tonight, you mentioned Ynysi Albions. How do you prepare for a fixture against a club where, as everybody from Cambrian will know, it's literally couldn't get more local derby, really. It's 3 miles separate to each other. And a lot of your best friends really play for this potential banana skin for you.
You talk about holidays during the season. I wish I could go on holidays now. It's a disaster of a game for me. You really couldn't pick a worse game for me, especially on the back of 1 point in 5 games. And I have to play my local team, which I've been part of, with two of my best mates, my actual best mates at my wedding, play for them, and probably 5 or 6 of my very close friends play for them. I was the assistant manager there, so in terms of preparing for the game, I've just got to drum into my players to be as professional, you know what I mean, as hard working as we possibly can, because I really am not looking forward to tonight.
Obviously for the community, is this perhaps even a bigger game than your MG Cup runs?
Weather permitted, we'll have a bigger crowd here than we did for a lot of our MG Cup games, no doubt about that. I'd even go as far as saying we'll have a bigger crowd than the TNS game. That's how big it is locally, because, you know, everyone in local football always says he can do this, and I think he should be playing there, and why is he not playing at Cambrian, and why are Cambrian not looking at him? And when, you know, ultimately, you know, I know the tag has come from within, really, that Cambrian is the biggest club in the Rhondda. You look at the facilities, you know, the level we play at, and the amount of infrastructure within the academy, Cambrian is the club in the Rhondda people aspire to play for. Obviously beyond that in terms of Welsh Premier. So when you put yourself on that pedestal, you're there to be shot at, and we'll be shot at tonight. And yeah, it's one of those where everyone loves an underdog, and everyone would want Ynysi to win tonight, apart from maybe a small group of Cambrian people.
Obviously though, as a manager, last week I went to watch Llechi Amford, there was 788 people there, and you say tonight there could be more than TS game. You know, these are nights in football you don't get very often in the Cymru Leagues. Is that something that's got to be exciting as a club, that you're potentially going to play in front of 500 people tonight?
Yeah, I think, and this is what I spoke to the players about a lot last year. It is, you know, careers are short, or they can be cut even shorter. This, take the opportunity and don't get nervous, don't get worried, don't get overawed by the situation. This is what we play football for. And the little games last year in which we won in the cups led to nights like this. And, you know, who knows, we win tonight, we get a favourable draw, we could be on TV again against TNS, you know, against Barry, against Cardiff Met. So, you know, these games tonight, which are potential banana skins, these are the ones you have to get through in order to have the big nights. Now, it's a bigger night tonight for NSEA than it is for us. But we are fortunate where last year we were NSEA. So we understand exactly what can be achieved. And, you know, if we are not at it, NSEA will turn us over. So we understand that.
Obviously, you know, with the extra crowd and the big community and the derby and the rivalry, there's going to be an extra under pressure. A lot of your players are young heads on young shoulders. How do you kind of, you know, instill in them that, you know, this is a rivalry game, keep your heads, you know. It's difficult for young players. Some players are 16. It's not easy to kind of manage that. How do you guide them through that process?
Yeah, as a manager, and certainly as a manager of Cambrai, ill discipline has cost us a lot since I've been here. And not red cards, the accumulation of yellow cards, which have resulted in bans at important times. With Cody Shepherd, who was arguably one of our best midfielder last year, missed the cup final because of an accumulation of yellow cards. So, you know, I'll be explaining to the guys about, yes, you know, we need them fired up, we need them working hard, but that's realistically what we should have every game. We need a cool head, we need to relax, play the game, see where it goes.
And beyond this game, where do you want to be in 5 years' time as a coach?
As long as I still got my hair and my health, I'll be a bonus. I don't really know. I think, if I'm completely honest with you, I don't see myself going to another club. You know, even if it was resulting I'd leave Cambrian, I don't really see me going and managing other clubs. Certainly not in the Welsh leagues anyway. I think when you talk about how you do it for the love, you have to have the love for that club as well. And I take my hat off to the managers who have managed 2, 3, 4 different clubs successfully. That's a big ask, guys, because for me personally, you know, I really do enjoy Cambrian. I enjoy the people here. So to step away from that and then maybe put that effort into somebody else, personally, I don't see me doing that at the moment.
So how important is Cambrian in your life?
Yes.
Second family.
Football's everything, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's not just football. Anyone who's part of any sport understands that it is your life. You know, they're your mates. I can pretty much tell you the best times of my life, apart from family, is football. You know, the trips away, the games, the highs, the lows, the friendships you make. And I've talked into this with Dan Lever not too long ago, and Dan's my best mate, and he's assistant manager at NSEA Albion's. In football, you can pretty much, especially in Wales, walk into a pub anywhere in Wales and you'll have a mate. You'll have somebody who you'll know through football, who you can have a pipe with, you can have a laugh and a joke with, and that's unique, that is. And that's not just football, it's sport. So to have built those friendships over the years, without football I wouldn't have that. And for me, that's the best thing I've ever got to football, is you've always got mates.
Thank you very much and good luck tonight. And
cheers,
get
Nick.
To see you.
Thank you, mate.
Thank you.
Cheers.